right. Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're going to take a look at Star Trek Picard. And you have the two Trekkies on the podcast, Keith and myself. This is a CBS All Access show. So have Star Trek Discovery, which is just one of the more newer Star Trek TV shows. And this one of the first Star Trek properties after Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. So this is Star Trek actually moving forward. You're greeted with a very older Patrick Stewart. And Patrick Stewart and Data are talking on the Enterprise. They're playing some type of game. There's this back and forth about certain elements. You realize that Captain Picard is dreaming. He's much older. He has a vineyard, France. If you remember the last two episodes of Next Generation that happened to him, it goes to, I believe, Boston. And there's a female and her boyfriend. Three men in suits show up in their apartment, kills the boyfriend, tries to capture her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has her moment where she just disarms all of them, kills them. And then she's on the run. You're kind of giving some exposition about what happened after the Next Generation era. So we're talking about Voyager, Deep Space Nine, that era of Star Trek. So it looks like there was a problem on Romulus. They were being transported. Picard was in charge of that transport. Something went wrong where synthetic life forms, aka androids or of Data's ilk, took over, destroyed everything, and also destroyed Mars in the process. So he's being interviewed, and there's kind of this back and forth between him and the interviewer about making decisions and believing in synthetic life forms. So the female character shows up on his vineyard, explains that she's been having visions of Captain Picard. And Keith, what did you think of the first episode of the long-awaited Star Trek Picard?
It was a good first episode. I was suitably intrigued, especially by the last few minutes of it. I believe the last 10 minutes of it.
They start dropping a whole bunch of everything.
It's not a whole lot of exposition. It's basically, it's not like he's just sitting there going through verbal garbage and stuff, just dumping it out. He's breaking down the mystery. It's almost like there's a mystery you're kind of solving. He solved it, and he just kind of breaks down why. And then it goes left. And you're like, whoa. Say midway through it, it goes left. You see the catalyst for the adventure to take place, why the series now has its motivation. I thought it was a strong episode. I thought almost immediately it was better than Discovery.
Definitely. I mean, it was better than the first five episodes of Discovery, but go ahead.
It just killed anything to do with Discovery. I mean, they went all the way back, and I don't understand why some of the people who have been interviewing the original Next Generation cast are saying, like, the next generation you knew is dead. I'm like, no, it's not dead. I mean, right here, I'm looking at Picard, and he's just, it's all there. Everything he talked about, all the little things, like, he goes into his archive, and I knew every little piece that was in there. I knew every bit of it.
The bat left in there, yeah.
When he pulls out the painting. Okay, you know, Data did that. I know that Data did that. Yep. Data's a painter. Of course, that's what he did. And then he starts talking about possibility of what was going on and what happened. You realize that Picard knows exactly what's going on, who the young lady is.
He's trying to convince her who she is instead of vice versa, where she's trying to convince him. And he's like, no, I don't understand. He's sure of himself.
He's sure of her. He's absolutely sure of who she is. She's not something that's bad or wrong or evil. It's like, it was that Star Trek hopefulness that I realized was missing. And I was trying to put my finger on why I liked this episode so much. There was so much upbeat positivity, despite the fact it was like through this edge in there with the whole synthetics were the enemy. And
yeah, so again, particularly enhanced life forms or synthetics, whatever way you want to describe what Data is, that Data is an android robot. Some point in time during that period where Romulus was in trouble and they needed to be taken from one area to another, so Romulus needed a new homeworld, something just went wrong and synthetics went crazy. A
group of synthetics stole ships. They attacked Mars. Mars is still burning today. They don't know why Mars was attacked. They don't know what they were after or what the reason behind the attack was and what sparked it off.
But then they kind of explain.
Right.
A little bit later in the episode. So you kind of get some hint about where things are going.
Uh-huh.
Thing that I like the most is that I mean, obviously Patrick Stewart is much older, but it's good seeing him on front of the camera, a role that is familiar to him. So he's not playing Charles Xavier and he's not playing Bosley in Charlie's right. Angels. Feel his reverence for the character and his right. appreciation for the character. And then, as I told James about this, that J.J. Abrams already screwed over Star Trek. And this mm-hmm. is a reset. I mean, between this and Discovery, Discovery's still trying to follow some of the J.J. Abrams-isms.
Yes.
This does not. This follows the, you had Star Trek and Deep Space Nine and Voyager and then the Star Trek Next Generation movies. But this follows that trend that you get a little bit of the end of the Next Generation TV series. You get a little bit of the end of Star Trek Nemesis, unfortunately, but there's a convergence of all that. Then you're introduced to different characters. And then you're also going to be, just based off of the clips at the future episodes, you're going to be introduced to all the old characters too. So you get this good convergence of what Star Trek is. So it's not, I keep saying it's about Star Wars, that you're not getting different vision, getting competing visions.
It yes, is yes.
a solid, straightforward, hey, Captain Picard's back, but he also has some buddies back in the command chair.
This is how you take a nostalgia piece of cinema. These people who made this show, who wrote it, are fans of the Next Generation. Correct. You've got an actor who are fan, who, even despite the fact that he didn't like the role towards the end, later in life, he's now, in reflection, he realizes it was a phenomenal role, and he wants to come back to it and treat it with the reverence it deserves.
I would say it's not like Harrison Ford, where Harrison Ford just
Harrison Ford is outright.
For all of his characters. But go ahead.
He wanted to send his character off correctly. A prime example, and then we'll know for sure once the first season wraps and once the series wraps, we'll know just how well it's done. But this is how you handle your nostalgia. You don't take it back and try to recreate everything you liked about the first one. You don't sit there and try to rebuild it, redo it all over again. You take where they are and you just build on what they did and you move forward with that. That's something that Abrams didn't understand for whatever reason. I don't know why he couldn't get it. And that was unfortunately to two franchises' detriment that it happened that way. Nemesis was the worst Star Trek movie. People who watch Nemesis and remember it, you knew exactly what was happening in the show. Literally a continuation from that. Like, okay, that was a bad movie. So what? It's still Star Trek. And it's still part of the saga.
And then still certain elements of Next Generation. If you know where the story's going, you can pick up on, well, this episode, this happened. This right. episode, this happened. And they try to sway certain characters to something.
When you watch this episode and you've picked up on all the Data references and the additional synthetics, my mind went to episodes in The Next Generation, I think the third season, third or fourth season, when Data's daughter.
Yeah, Data, then you also got Data and Lore, then you also have a whole bunch of Nian Sung references.
Yeah, tons of that. I'm thinking about his daughter, Lal. Yeah. I'm like, you know, he mentioned Data always wanted a daughter. I'm like, I remember that episode.
Yeah.
That he built one and she unfortunately died.
Yeah, I mean, the episode is about if you believe Data has a conscience, is sentient. That yes. How do you define that? Captain Picard is still believing that Data was a person, because again, he was interviewed early in the episode. Host is like really attacking him about synthetics are bad. What are your feelings about Data? And Data was my friend. I was happy to serve with him. He was probably more human than you were.
Exactly. One of the key things, like, he didn't blame the synthetics as a whole. That was just one element. In this day and age where it's all edgy and dark and stuff, it was this element of this positivity.
And that's the whole thing about Star Trek. And it's also maybe one of the negatives about Star Trek Discovery, the first season, that they went to the mirror universe. The mirror universe has its own connotation. Everything's just screwed up. Then this is just like, hey, space is fun.
It's all about exploration.
That is a humanitarian mission that Starfleet should remember its principles, that the principles trying to bring races together instead of tearing people apart, things like that. And the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars, that Star Trek is a little bit more built on the premise of maybe the 1960s, 70s. Let's bring people together. Let's bring all the races together. Let's try to fight for a common good. Make it the UN or make it NATO or something like that.
They're handling the mystery behind this whole thing pretty well, I think. Though I want to say the last 5 minutes, as our villain, and you're like, I wonder if that could have been played out a little bit, because it was drawn out a little bit more.
Or like, even with Star Trek Discovery, the problem with the Klingons, ultimately maybe not so much the villains, but even that was done poorly.
Well, it's conflicting visions again, trying to recreate the original series with the Klingons being the big bad.
But doing the J.J. Abrams way, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the Klingons were to be sort of this footnote type of deal.
They didn't understand the Klingons, and then they didn't understand how the Klingons were supposed to look, which was the biggest thing.
And that was Brian Fuller's fault. He basically said, I want to make the Klingons look different. And I don't know what he was thinking. He was just thinking that he wanted to make them look really alien instead of alien people, like
make
guys
them look like fish, basically. That's how they want to
look. Yeah, they look ridiculous.
All right, so Keith, what score would you give the first episode of Star Trek?
I'm gonna leave some room for improvement. Even though I was pretty pumped about this episode, I'll give it a solid 8. I may revise that moving forward and stuff, and it won't count as an average for all the episodes, but this is a strong beginning. And it did everything the first episode of a TV series is supposed to do. Introed your lead character, got a feel for the mission and what's going on. This is another episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. He stepped right back into the captain's role. It just felt right. And it felt like Star Trek again.
Correct. And I mean, again, we had to sit through at least 2 bad movies. Mm-hmm. If you count the J.J. Abrams one, J.J. Abrams verse ones. 2 other bad movies. Star Trek Beyond, maybe.
That was pretty good. I wasn't terrible.
All right. So Star Trek Beyond, maybe like a 6. Maybe 1 bad movie and 1 okay movie and then 1 good movie. And then nothing for a very long time because J.J. Abrams screwed over Star Trek. And then you got Star Trek Discovery, which should just be named Star Trek Burnham. The worst type of Star Trek character.
I'd never seen this before. A Mary Sue'd Star Trek character.
And it was pretty blatant. I mean, the first season, they tried maybe not so much that she had a fatal flaw, that she was the person that caused the war.
Pretended. She tried to be Vulcan, but she used logic to hide her emotions. That's what she used logic to hide her emotions.
Well,
her emotional actions.
Star Trek Discovery, they tried to layer on too much stuff. Not necessarily Vulcan, but part Vulcan because she was raised by Sarek and
she has a connection to Spock.
Even though Spock never mentions her.
Yeah, she was Mary Sue.
Spock mentions his brother more than Burnham.
You're like, Mary Sue? What the? Badass fighter? She can beat Klingons? And
she's smart. She can take over every station on the ship. Like, why is this not called Star Trek Burnham? So.
It was pretty blatant. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, so for me with this, I'm going to give it a 7.5. Like you said, there's room for improvement. Obviously, the next subsequent episodes, this should follow a certain narrative because I think even from the trailer for this, we kind of picked up on who this mysterious person was. From that, it is doing exactly what you think it is doing, or at least according to this first episode. It is following that, and also the teasers for the subsequent episodes, it is following that. So it's bringing the best of what Star Trek is, what Star Trek could be, and then what Star Trek was. So you do get some clips of some older characters, and there's a whole set of things that now he's back on a new ship, and he has been on other ships other than the Enterprise.
Yep. You saw one of them in the vault in the archive, if you pay attention.
Yeah.
Stargazer.
Yep.
He explains why he left his ship to take on another role and everything, but kind of want to preface one thing. You and I sound very muted. We're like not overly, oh my God, this is fantastic. Is that we've been burned.
J.J. Abrams.
The scars are still fresh.
So everything that all these Star Wars fans are going through currently where it's in chaos. You don't know if they're going to get another Star Wars movie. Where's Star Wars going? Why did people do this? We've already been there and we're okay now.
Picard is set for season 2 already, so...
Oh, I'm all about that. Fire up CBS All Access, everybody.
I'm all about that. I'm glad I maintained my paid subscription to CBS All Access. I mean, every time I think about canceling them, they just pull something out there, be like, hey, we just did season 2 of Star Trek Picard. It's been signed. I'm like, okay. I'm just going to hold on to this.
It's exploring certain areas of Star Trek are familiar with if you're a Trekkie. If it does what it's claiming that it wants to do with this show or this season arc, it is the Star Trek that I wanted ever since maybe Voyager ended.
This is like a season of Star Trek series without the filler episodes.
I brought this up before, but everything always seems to be trying to, at least like certain movies, certain science fiction movies, kind of go back and re-envision this as something else. Particularly with Star Trek, you had Enterprise, and then you also had the J.J. Abrams movies where they just went back to the TOS, the original Star Trek series. Uh-huh. And this is the first proper, even after Next Generation movies, the first proper what happened. Because it seemed like they were afraid. Even Star Trek Discovery is set in between certain time periods.
Yes.
Now you know that, hey, well, Earth turned out to be fine.
The reason Picard left was because of his desire to help the Romulan refugees.
Yeah, and the whole thing was that the Romulans had always been the antithesis of Starfleet. You have the beacon of what Starfleet is helping the Romulans. How is that possible? And he's just like, Starfleet had lost their way. We're supposed to be here for new life and new civilization.
I'm excited to see this. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that I like about this. And you can tell these are people who weren't thinking about agendas or representation or anything like that.
Yeah.
The one action scene he had and that whole thing was him running up some stairs and he almost had a heart attack.
Basically, like, I can't do this.
I can't. This is not me. And he is an old man now, and he acts like a dignified older gentleman.
Yeah, you're helping Pop around, basically.
Pretty much. You're helping him carry this stuff, and that is exactly what this needs to be. You don't need to have some young guy dressing up in a stunt double. It's not Patrick Stewart running around or pretending to be an action hero or anything like that. He is not 40. He's not 50 years old. He's not 60 years old. He's in his 70s, and he don't need to be running around getting in fist fights. If it came to it, you know he would throw down, but he doesn't need to. The elder statesman, and that's the character or the captain that we liked, solving the mysteries and just kind of leading the way and had the younger kids just like handle the heavy lifting. Not like some of the technical aspects. I mean, I think the little hologram stuff is a little overused, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like, but again, this is the legacy of Next Generation and seven seasons of that, and then also 7 seasons of Deep Space Nine, 7 seasons of Voyager, and then 4 Star Trek movies. Well, Star Trek Next Generation movies, that 2 of those were okay.
Yeah, those are good. Man, I would say once you got the Insurrection, just went
So
kind of wincy territory, kind of cringy territory.
First 2 good. Last 2 bad. But again, is even dipping into that bad Star Trek movie. Find some good in it. And that's why you get Star Trek Picard. So for new life, new civilization everywhere, Star Trek Picard.
This is a monumental thing. And I'm very happy with what I'm seeing right now. Like, not liking Star Trek or Star Wars at the same time, that didn't feel right. It just hurts your soul. Unhappy with life and you know, it don't feel good. I was sick to death of this bitching and complaining about Star Wars. I was sick to death about
Star Trek Discovery.
Not looking forward to next season of Star Trek Discovery. Wasn't looking forward to it.
Yeah, because they keep jumping around in timelines. I'm like, come on, just. Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're going to do, and I haven't heard anything about it, so I don't know what they're going to be doing with that mess.
But as soon as this was announced, I'm like, huh? Patrick Stewart's coming back?
Okay. I remember his campaign to get it. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, man. Good luck with that. Next thing you know, CBS All Access says they picked it up. You're like, wait, what? Okay, well, let's look at it. Oh, yeah, they just filmed the first season. Then I saw the trailer. I was like, what's going on here? What's happening with this? This seems interesting to me. And I think the final trailer was what finally got me cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, again, you have the person, well, at least one of the people that defines the Next Generation era of Star Trek, Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart, and Bola going where no podcast has gone before. That's the Beast Game Podcast.
Signing out.